Tonight we'll be in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. And we're going to talk about after Christmas. We've had Christmas. Now we've had after Christmas. And maybe you got what you wanted for Christmas. Or maybe you got something that you had to pretend that you liked for Christmas. I don't know. But Christmas is over. It's past. People say, well, what do we talk about now? Well, we need to talk about the wise men. Because that's after Christmas. That might surprise you. I don't know if it will or not, but it's very important to understand that. The wise men came after Christmas. They didn't come on the day that Christ was born. The Bible tells us these things. So we're going to go through this. I'm not going to go through this very quickly. I'm going to go quickly through this, but I'm not trying to be a Grinch about it. But there's a reason that the wise men came after Christmas. And we're going to see that tonight. Well, let's talk about that first. First, the wise men came after the birth of Christ. And if you read the stories in Matthew and Luke, the reason that they got blended together is people did not read the whole stories. And they didn't read them word for word. Matthew gives one account, Luke gives another. Luke gives the account of the shepherds, but Matthew gives the account of the wise men. Now, if you follow me on the sheet, I think I left you a little place to fill in there. But both the shepherds of Luke and the wise men of Matthew, they both saw Christ in Bethlehem. If you read the text very carefully, they both saw Christ. But they did not see each other. They did not see each other. In Matthew 2:11, it says, the wise men saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Saw the young child with Mary. They didn't see Joseph. They saw Mary and the child. And Luke 2:16 says, the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. So they saw Christ. The wise men did not see Joseph. But the shepherds saw Joseph, Mary, and the baby. And they didn't see each other. I don't think the Bible would have left that little account out if they had seen one another. I know if I was a shepherd and I walked into a room and there's a bunch of wise men dressed up in silk robes standing around a baby in a manger, I would write that down, wouldn't you? That would be something that would stand out. And number two, though both shepherds and wise men saw Jesus in Bethlehem, they saw him in a different place. They were totally different places. Luke 2:16 says, the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby was lying in a manger. A manger is something that is an implement that you find in a barn. It's where you feed animals. But in Matthew 2:11, it says, the wise men came into the house and saw Mary with her baby. So that's a different place. There, one's in a house. One's in a barn. They found Jesus. Why is there a difference in this? The shepherds found Jesus lying in the manger, in that feeding trough, a place where animals were kept, because there was no room in a house proper for Jesus to be kept. But some time had passed, and the wise men found Jesus in a house, not in a barn. Very different. Number three, though both shepherds and wise men followed a sign sent by God to the Christ, they followed different signs. And I think this is really interesting. You know, the wise men asked, where is he, in Matthew 2:2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east. And they followed a star from the east to where Jesus was. That was the sign that they were looking for. They were looking for that star. The reason they were looking for a star is, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that God said a star would come out of Jacob. And something else we're going to learn in a little bit. These wise men have been told the gospel over 400 years before. These wise men were a group of individuals who came from the east to where Jesus was, but someone planted the seed of the gospel in them. The shepherds, the angel told the shepherds in Luke 2:12, they said, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not follow a star. But you're going to see him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, what are swaddling clothes? Swaddling clothes, and it's kind of interesting. Things go out of style and they come back to style. And people use swaddling clothes today. Swaddling clothes are nice strips of soft cloth that you wrap around a baby tightly. And the reason you do that is not to smother the baby, but to keep the baby warm to simulate the pressure of the baby in the womb, and it makes the baby much more comfortable and much more quiet whenever it's swallowed. Something else too, when a baby swallows, he doesn't cut himself with his fingernails. Every time I see a baby with some cuts on his face, I'd say, that baby got hold of himself. If he was swaddled, he wouldn't have got hold of himself. So it's becoming back into fashion now to swaddle. You know, a baby was swaddled because the baby was loved. Now, what the angel told these shepherds was this: you're going to find a baby who's loved, but he's going to be lying in a manger. Now, that's an enigma. That's something that doesn't make sense. Yeah, if you love your baby, you want your baby in the top of the line crib, don't you? You want your baby in the best possible place. But this angel said, here's the sign you're going to find, shepherds. He's going to be lying in a manger. Two different signs. Two different things. Next thing we see about this too, the wise men and the shepherds looked for a different Christ. A totally different Christ. Now, he's the same person. But in Luke 2:11, the angel told the shepherds this: unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They said, you are looking for a Savior. And that intrigued the shepherds because the shepherds were raising sheep that were going to be sacrificed in the temple. And they were used to people taking animals to be sacrificed and the blood of the animals being shook out on the people. And that was to save souls. But the angel said, what you've been raising right now is going to go out of style. And he said, there is coming a shepherd. This is who they look for. And that was why they left their sheep that night. What good are sheep if you don't need them for salvation anymore? Well, they're good to eat, okay? But they're not good for much else. So what good are they? And so they left and they went looking for a shepherd. But I want you to notice something else. In Matthew 2:2, the wise men said this: where is he that is born king of the Jews? They're not looking for a shepherd. They're looking for a king. And that's why they could not be there on the day of Jesus' birth. So, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, in order to be king of Israel, you had to follow the laws of Israel. And the law of Israel said when a woman had a baby, she became unclean for 7 days. But then on the 8th day, her child was to be circumcised. God gave the law of circumcision to Abraham back in the Old Testament. And God told Abraham, he said, look, any one of your children that are not circumcised, any one of your people that are not circumcised, they shall be cut off from his people. Genesis 17:14 is what God said. He said, they're cut off. It doesn't matter who it is. They've got to be circumcised if it's a male child. Well, the Bible tells us that God was, Jesus was circumcised. It says in Luke 2:20 through 24, when the shepherds saw Jesus, they praised God and glorified him for all the things they had seen and heard. And it says in Luke 2:21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. He was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You see, the child was named at the same time it was circumcised. And a child didn't have a name until he was legitimately a child of Abraham. And you could not be legitimately a child of Abraham as a male unless you were circumcised. You had to be. There is no way you could be king of Israel, of the line of David, if you weren't circumcised. Jesus, though he was God in human flesh, and though he is King of kings and Lord of lords, he lowered himself to that state, and he was circumcised. And the Bible says in Luke 2:22, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And they made a sacrifice for Jesus, and they actually sacrificed a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons for the child Jesus. The reason they did that is Leviticus 12 gives this law. It says, Leviticus 12, 1 through 4. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and bore a male child, she'll be unclean for 7 days. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. At the end of that time, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, or a young pigeon, or a turtle dove. And that's what Mary did. She brought a sacrifice to the temple with her baby. Mary was unclean for 7 days. On the 8th day, Christ was circumcised. And for 33 more days, she was unclean. And then after that time, she brought forth the sacrifice for the Son of God. Yeah, isn't that interesting? He wasn't exempted. No one is exempted from the law. Did y'all know that? But the Bible tells us that. It tells us that Jesus, it says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Jesus had to fulfill the law perfectly. Perfectly. He had to be the Lamb of God without spot, without blemish. And his mama had to do for him what he couldn't do for himself. She had to sacrifice, she had to circumcise him, but she did everything perfectly because God knew who to send that little baby to. God always knows, don't he?
Amen.
We serve an awesome God.
Amen.
Now, something just occurred to me. 7 days she's unclean, then 33 more days she's unclean. What's 33 and 7?
40.
40, that's a famous number in the Bible, isn't it?
Yes.
Israel wandered for 40 days in the wilderness. Noah was in the boat and the world flooded 40 days and 40 nights. You see, God has got his hand in every bit of this. Amen.
Amen.
Why did these wise men, when they came, only see Mary and the child? I suspect it's because Joseph had been banished from the house because Mary was still unclean until everything was sacrificed. Mary was unclean because of her delivery. And they stayed in Bethlehem for that. That answers a couple of questions. You know, you would think when Mary had her baby, they would go back home. But why go back home? See, if they go back to Nazareth, they go back and they're about 100 miles from the temple. But if they stay in Bethlehem, they're only 5 miles from the temple. Now, they tell me a human can walk about 3.5 miles an hour. When you get old and fat as me, you can only go about 2. But let me tell you, I could walk 5 miles in about 2 hours. Maybe 2.5. Depends on how lazy I am that day. Amen. So staying in Bethlehem made good sense. They stayed there until everything had been done. But there's another reason why they stayed in Bethlehem. God wasn't done with Bethlehem. God wanted us to see the evil of Herod. You know, I have people so many times, and hear this on TV, and they'll say, people are basically good. People are not basically good. People need a Savior. I'm going to say that again. People need a Savior.
Amen.
And if people don't have a Savior, they will sink to the lowest place they can possibly be. I've seen so-called good people do horrendous things. And Herod is no different from anyone else. God wanted us to see what Herod would do in Bethlehem. And he wanted us to see how deeply someone would seek if they didn't have Jesus in their lives. Now, when God came into this world, and this brings us to the second point on the sermon tonight. God placed himself under time and under law. When the wise men came seeking the king of the Jews, they knew he would be in Bethlehem. Why did they know he would be in Bethlehem? These wise men have been traced back to Babylon. And back in the Old Testament, there's a very famous prophet who was taken away into exile in Babylon. And this very famous prophet was a man by the name of Daniel. Daniel, y'all remember Daniel, don't you? If you don't remember Daniel, y'all remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his friends? I love them stories right there. Those are good stories. But one thing that's true about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is they lived their faith.
Amen.
They didn't hide their faith. They lived their faith. I heard the story one time about a young Christian. I read it. It was one of Dwight L. Moody's. He was an evangelist. It was one of the stories he told. He said, this young Christian, he got saved, and then he was drafted into the army. And every night he would kneel at the foot of his bed and he'd pray. And he'd pray every night. And as he prayed, the soldiers would throw their boots at him and tell him to turn the lights off, and they'd mock him and they'd laugh at him and they treated him pretty hard. He went to the chaplain and he said, "Chaplain, what do I need to do?" Well, the chaplain was one of these liberal preachers. I don't think he was a Baptist, but I won't say what I think he was. Amen. But he went to one of these liberal preachers and asked him, he said, what do you think I ought to do? He said, well, if you want to make peace, just get in your bed quietly every night, pull the covers up over your head and pray under the covers. And do it so quiet they don't hear what you're doing. And you just hide that praying thing and God will still know you're praying and it'll be all right. They won't pick on you. About a week later, the chaplain went to where this young man was. He said, how did things work out? He said, I went back to my room that night and I got underneath the covers and I pulled the covers up over my head and I tried praying real quiet. And I tried to hide it. And he said, I got under conviction. He said, Jesus has done so much for me, I just couldn't stand it. He said, after a while, he said, I started getting embarrassed with myself and ashamed of myself. He said, I got out of the bed and knelt down at the foot of that bed. And he said, I started praying. The chaplain said, ain't those people persecuting you now? He said, well, they did at first, but he said, now there's 20 of them saved and come to Jesus. And now every night before I go to bed, we have a prayer meeting.
Amen.
You know what? I'm sick of sickly Christianity, aren't you?
Amen.
Well, Daniel, when he was in Babylon, he told others about his faith. When you read the book of Daniel, he starts out telling people about his faith, and he lives for God. He's not a fake Christian. He's a real Christian. He's not scared of a little bit of cold outside like y'all weren't. He comes to church. He don't care what it takes. He wants to serve God.
Amen.
And Babylon, while he was in Babylon, Daniel became known as a wise man. He raised up in the ranks. And after a while, a bunch of those pagans that were making fun of him began to work for him. He was a right-hand man to the king. And he told those people all about the star of Jacob. The star would rise up. He told them all about the prophecies of Micah. He began to share the story of the coming Messiah. Daniel believed what he said. And as he shared this with those wise men got saved. And in the middle of a pagan place, the Babylonians had a bunch of wise men that got saved. These wise men started passing the story of the Christ down from generation to generation. About 469 years passed, and these wise men saw a star rise in the east. They said, isn't this what Uncle Daniel told us all about? Isn't this what we heard about whenever Daniel was here, that great man of God? And they went out and they started following that star. They knew about the star because the seed was planted. And I want y'all to know something. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I know if you plant the seed of the gospel and you tell others about Jesus, God will get his harvest in time.
Amen.
You might not live to see it. You might not live long enough to see what's going on. But let me tell you something. God will harvest it.
Amen.
Daniel, I can see Daniel up in heaven. And a few years, about 400 something years passed, which is like this in heaven. Here come some wise men. They see Daniel. Daniel sees these wise men. He said, well, I've never met y'all before. Where y'all from? They said, we had a great, 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 great granddaddy that worked for you. And he heard the gospel from you. And he shared the gospel down. And because my great, 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 I might just do this all night long. It feels good. Because he done what he was supposed to do, we got saved.
Amen.
And we got to see Jesus in Bethlehem. Ooh, that made my hair stand up. I like that. We got to see Jesus in Bethlehem.
Amen.
They followed God. Oh, that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
That's a wonderful. Let me give you the passages. Micah 5:2. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you're little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel. See, they were never told that he was going to be Savior of the world, but they were told he was going to be a ruler. And that's why these wise men were looking for the king of the Jews. They said, we want to see him. Numbers 24:17 says this, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. The scepter shall rise up out of Israel and batter the brow of the unbeliever and destroy the children of evil. That's where Jesus was going to come. These wise men, they had gotten tired of the old political system and they were going to look for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They wanted to see Jesus. And these wise men went to that place to see Jesus. They came to Jesus, as I said before, at least 8 days after Jesus' birth. How do I know that? Because Jesus could not be a king until he'd been circumcised. That was the law. Had to be circumcised. Why? Because when God entered the world through Mary, he placed himself in his creation. The God who created gravity made himself a subject to gravity. The God who created the nerve ending made himself subject to pain. And that little baby Jesus, when he was circumcised, I believe he cried just like every baby cries when they're circumcised. I believe he experienced that pain. Our God, who is outside of eternity and outside of time, made himself a part of time. He enslaved himself to time. You know, as I preach, every church I've ever preached in has a clock on the back wall. Not so y'all can see it, but so the preacher can see it and shut up at the appropriate time. Amen. And as I watch that clock has a hand on it that sweeps. It has a minute hand that moves slower. It has an hour hand that moves slower still. That clock reminds me I'm a subject of time. But Jesus Christ was eternal God. He came from eternity where there was no time. There are no clocks in heaven. Y'all know that? Not even them old-fashioned hourglasses. There's no sun nor moon in heaven, but the light of heaven comes from the throne of God. Amen. We're set on a 24-hour cycle because God made us on a 24-hour cycle. And he made everything around us on a 24-hour cycle. We have day and night because of that. But God lowered himself to come down into time. And these wise men in time found God. What a wonderful thing that is. As these wise men found God, they found the God who was outside of suffering, but who came to suffer. The God who is outside of the law, but he came to fulfill the law. The God who did not have to do what he did, but he came because he loved you and he loved me. Isn't that a wonderful God? Amen. These wise men, as they come and they looking for Jesus. Matthew chapter 2 verse 8 tells us that these wise men, they came and they asked us, said, where is he who is born king of the Jews? Herod didn't have a clue. But Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem because his advisors said that's where Jesus would be. Matthew 2 8, old Herod said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He had no intention of worshiping Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus. He wanted to take his life. But the wise men were smarter than that old fool was sitting on the throne. Because the Bible says that the wise men saw the star. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they come to the house where the star stood over, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down, and I want you to notice, they worshiped him. Oh, when you see Jesus, when you get to heaven, you're going to worship Jesus. Amen. People always tell me, when I get to heaven, I'm going to see Uncle Alfred, or I'm going to see Aunt Sue, or I'm going to see this one or that one. I won't see my Aunt Elma. She's a good, godly woman. Led me to Christ. I want to see them. But the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven, you're going to fall down and worship him, because what a glorious Savior he is. What a great God he is. I'm going to give you a little poem I wrote. No extra charge. All right? The wise men came to Bethlehem after Christmas Day. Looking for a king, they found the one who was the way. Upon seeing Jesus, they fell down and worshiped him as God. Though miles they came, it was worth every step that they had tried. Weary but refreshed, they loved him, and they gave this king their all. The greatest treasure given that day was this child who would save us from the fall. What a wonderful God we have.
Amen.
And what a wonderful Savior we have. As they bowed down, they gave three gifts to Jesus. And I want to close with those three gifts. They gave him frankincense. Frankincense was used in the temple by the priests, and frankincense was burned on the altar of incense. It was very costly, very expensive. It was not something that was manufactured in big batches. It took a long time to make it, and it was very costly. But the frankincense symbolized the prayers of the saints going up to God. Hebrews 4:14 tells us this: We have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, and we hold firmly to that. Jesus is the one who is our high priest. Who better than to give frankincense? He was given myrrh. That was, again, a very costly material. Myrrh was an ointment extracted from a tree, and myrrh was used to embalm the dead. I don't know if these wise men knew why they brought that gift, but it was a gift suitable for a king, because only a king would be embalmed by myrrh. Common people didn't have it. It wasn't given to common people. It was very costly. I remember one year I asked Carolyn what kind of perfume she used, and because she always smells like a rose. Have y'all ever noticed that? I love the smell. I call her my rose. And I said, what kind of perfume does Billy give you? She said, Red Door. I said, I'm going to get a bottle of that for my wife. Woo-wee! Have you ever bought Red Door? Yeah. It'll make you find the door. Amen? But I had already told my wife I was going to get her some, so I did. And it was costly. Can you imagine embalming somebody in something that costly? It would have to be a king. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He's the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. Nobody took his life, but he laid it down. He sacrificed it voluntarily. And on the day that Jesus died, the Bible says they offered him wine drugged with myrrh. Mark 15:23. The wine drugged with myrrh was supposed to deaden the pain and make the suffering less. Jesus rejected that. He took the full brunt of the pain of the cross. And when he finally cried out, it is finished, and he died, they took his body down, and the Bible says they embalmed him with about 75 pounds of myrrh and ointment. That's John 19:39. That myrrh reminded Christ of the fact that he was going to die for us. He knew that. That reminds us. Then that final gift was gold. That's a wonderful gift for a king. The temple was laced with gold. Everything had gold on it. The altar had gold on it. Thrones were made with gold. Who better to give gold to than Jesus? But there was another reason for that gold. Because when the wise men went back a different way, and Herod found out that they weren't there, Herod did what an evil man would do. He went into, sent soldiers into Jerusalem, and they killed every baby, 2 years old and younger. And the streets ran red with blood. Innocents died that day. You say, what a horrible thing. How many babies have we flushed down the toilet in America? How many babies? How many babies have we dismembered and sold their body parts? How many? We need a Savior. Amen. Amen. And we need a king to tell us what's right and wrong. And that's what Jesus is. To the shepherds, he's a Savior. To the wise men, he's a king. And if you love him, he loves you. And he'll take you all the way to heaven. Isn't God good? All the time.
God is good.
I appreciate y'all's patience tonight. I got you done 15 minutes early. How's that? No singing, no second sermon. We'll just go. Is that all right?
Amen.
All right. Well, I appreciate y'all coming. I pray you'll be back here Sunday. Bring somebody with you. Do we want to keep these in here or give them to the families that will take them? Can y'all take one home with you? I used to take them to the nursing home, and I will take one to Glenn because I think I can. But the other nursing homes will not allow me to take one because they're scared somebody's going to eat the leaves. The leaves are poisonous. So the nursing homes won't let me do it anymore. So anyway, if y'all stand, we'll be dismissed. You can take some to the fire department with you.
Can I add something?
You can.
I just noticed about an hour ago, I don't get the Herald, but I was at Mom's house looking at hers, and they were showing the top 10 photos taken through the Daily Herald, and number one was a group of us at work that was... And let me say this, I'm not the one that instigated this prayer, but we was at a house fire over here off Hatcher Lane, got a woman out of the house.
Oh, that's awesome.
And one of the guys come up and said, hey, you mind if we have prayer for this woman? I said, I'll be right there with you. And we invited everybody. It was us, the ambulance workers, and the police officers that was there. And the guy from the Daily Herald, we asked him if he would join us. We thought he was there with us, but we didn't know he was taking pictures. But I just wanted to say that I'm very blessed to be a part of that crew.
You are blessed. You are blessed. And I think that's wonderful that y'all did that.
Yeah,
that right there is going to make more difference.
That photo went viral all the way across the United States. Even Sarah Palin's family even sent messages back to us. And, of course, we did get the negatives.
Oh, I was going to say, look for the ACLU. They'll be after you a little bit, but that's all right.
But the positive way outweighed the negatives.
That is a wonderful thing.
But it was truly a blessing for me.
You know, if we'll keep doing what God tells us to do, like the story I told of the soldiers, God will make a difference. God will make a difference. But it takes doing it. You know, we've got to do it. And we can't hide our faith. We just got to stand up for Jesus. Brother Kirby, how about closing us with prayer?
With prayer,